So this morning we start a new series in Colossians. Why Colossians? Well, because I want to build you up, to strengthen your faith, to free you to love better and to be even more fruitful than you already are, to lead you to the full riches of knowing Christ, to give you 1,000 reasons to be thankful to the Lord each and every day. So wherever you are in your relationship with Christ, whether you're an excited new believer or somewhat stuck in a rut as a seasoned believer, or still growing after decades of faith, wherever you're at, there's real treasure for you here in this little letter of Colossians. And as we read this letter, it's tempting to think that the world back then was so very different from ours. Not so. Drive with me inland from Ephesus, along the beautiful meandering river valley, past the amazing salt pools at Pamukkale, and you arrive at the site of Colossae, a multicultural, multi-ethnic city, but one that was damaged by earthquakes in AD 60 and then abandoned. The Apostle Paul has never been to Colossae, but he's heard about the church there from his friend Epaphras. And now Paul sits at his desk with his papyrus reed and pen, or perhaps, like me, now he wanders around his study dictating to a secretary. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. Paul, an apostle, appointed by God and sent. That's what apostle means, sent. Sent to proclaim and to teach about the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, an apostle, but just a brother to all the believers, not the reverend canon, or the venerable, or the very reverend, let alone His Holiness. No, first and foremost, Paul is a brother in Christ. A brother in Christ who is commissioned and appointed to guard the truth about Jesus. That's his apostolic function. And he writes to the holy and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, when anyone comes to faith in Christ, Christ makes them holy. Jesus cleanses us from all our wrong-headed, self-centered, prideful self-esteem and gives us a single-minded, wholehearted, free and glad desire to please Him. That's holiness, a heart that delights in Christ Jesus above all else. But each and every day, we need His help to walk in that holiness. And so Paul prays, grace and peace to you from God our Father. Grace, God's love in saving sinners, as someone has said. God's grace brings us peace as, in love, He chooses us to be His eternal companions, His reconciled children. So Christian peace isn't merely an inner calmness, but companionship with God Himself. We who were enemies are now at peace. And so, whenever Paul prays for the Colossian Christians, he's full of thanks to God, just as I am when I pray for you, my brothers and sisters at St. Peter's. Yes, yes, really. But why this thankfulness for Paul? Why this thankfulness for me in my prayers? Because, verse 4, we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven. One of my greatest joys is hearing how you have grown in faith, in trust, and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. An email saying how your understanding of God's word is growing. A text that shares how you've grown through a difficult time. A WhatsApp to say how the Lord has rebuked you, encouraged you, revealed something to you this morning. And that's why we had Andy Colbran and Pete and Rachel Fromo sharing a slice of their lives with us on Sunday mornings recently, so that we can be encouraged by their growth in the faith. But it's also been wonderful these last few months in particular to hear about the love and care that you're showing to all the saints. It's easy, isn't it, to love some of the saints. But all the saints? Well, that's slightly different. And how is it even possible? And what exactly is it that makes faith and love grow and deepen? Well, the answer may surprise you. It's there in verse 5. Faith and love spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven. Christian hope is not the vague hope that says, perhaps, if I'm not too bad and manage to keep on the right side of God, then maybe I'll see Grandma again when I die. No, Christian hope is trusting that God has already prepared and now keeps heaven for you. Remember what Jesus said in John's Gospel. In my Father's house are many rooms. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You see, you don't create your own hope by preparing your own place in heaven. You can't do that. You don't have the goodness or the power to open the pearly gates. No, Jesus had to be crucified and rise again to do that for you. But he did do it for you. And so you can trust him. Your hope then is in him, not yourself. And so you have faith. You trust in Jesus Christ. Faith springs from the hope stored up for you in heaven by Jesus. But what about love? Well, let's begin with this. What stops you, what stops us from loving all the saints? Well, sadly, this could take us a long time, but I'll try and just be brief and think of a couple of things that stop us from loving well. Perhaps I look down on other people. I don't want to be seen with so-and-so. I think they're difficult or awkward or simply uninteresting and boring. They have nothing to offer me. That may be one reason. But of course, the opposite may be true. Perhaps I think I have nothing to give. And in any case, no one would want to talk to me. I'm shy. I'm useless. I'm hopeless at small talk. Or again, perhaps it's that I'm just wrapped up in my own life and my own self. I want to get home early. I need to protect my time. And then there are issues of shame and guilt and lack of forgiveness and so on, all of which can block our love for others. But knowing that hope has been stored up in heaven for you by Christ's death and resurrection can empower you to overcome these obstacles. Take, for example, looking down on others, thinking they're uninteresting, boring, awkward, or have nothing to offer me. Why do we have this attitude, some of us? Well, it's about pride, isn't it? Self-importance. But then we look towards the hope stored up for us in heaven. There, said Jesus, the first will be last and the last will be first. There, we will be like Jesus and we will love like Jesus. He showed no favoritism. In heaven, I will love the person I find it so hard to love now. And I will love them perfectly. I will love them more than I now love my children, my spouse, my parents, even myself. Because then I will love them perfectly. And why do I even have this hope of heaven? Well, because Christ loved me and died for me. I have this hope of heaven because although I failed, although I disobeyed, although I am no different and no better than anybody else, Christ had to die for me. So the hope stored up for me in heaven demolishes my pride and opens my heart to love all the saints. But what about the person who thinks they're hopeless, useless, worthless, a failure? The person who dreads going to a barbecue because they've got nothing to say to anyone of any interest? Again, we look to the hope stored up in heaven and we take courage. Now, perhaps you'll think I'm being cruel to be kind here, but you see, the person who constantly says, I'm useless, is saying to God, I know better than you. Oh, I know you say that the Spirit helps me and equips me for service. I say, not me. I know you say that I'm your child, just like all the saints, that we're all brothers and sisters, all equal. But I say, no, you're wrong. I'm worse than them. I'm different from them. You made them fit for heaven. You made them holy, but not me. The Christian life, however, the Christian life in the here and now is the beginning of life in God's house. We are already his children, already filled with the Spirit, already citizens of his kingdom. That is the reality. And we should not, we must not deny the reality and think that we know better than God. That, you see, is the word of truth, the gospel, that is there in verse 5. Now, of course, in one sense, the self-critical person is in a better place than the proud person. After all, pride is one of the hardest sins to overcome. But the self-critical person knows they're in need of mercy and help. But the trouble is, they're not sure that God will bother with them. But look at verse 6. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. Why do you think you're any different from anybody else? Can the God of heaven and earth not produce fruit in you? Are you the only one beyond his reach? Are you impervious to the transforming power of his grace? Are you, in the end, more powerful than God? No, certainly not. Gospel hope brings fruit all over the world, in the lives of all kinds of different people, in the lives of the timid and the proud and the self-absorbed and the self-critical. Everyone, all kinds of people. Faith and love spring from hope, from the gospel. And I thank God that this is so evident in you, the saints, the holy ones, my brothers and sisters at St. Peter's. Our Heavenly Father, please, would you help us to look ahead to the hope that is stored up in heaven? And as we do so, would you increase our faith in the Lord Jesus and our love for all the saints, so that the Lord Jesus might be honoured and glorified in us and through us, and that we might live out what we will one day be for sure. In Christ's name, Amen.